Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Draft is in the books. In the bank and earning interest, as they say. And I guess we can't really call Brian Gutekunst rigid anymore. This guy is as flexible as a yogi at this point, man. A guy, a GM, who traditionally loves his picks, right? Averages, what, close to 10 per year? Content with six. Six picks for your green and gold.
I mean, I don't know if he was content.
Content is about the warmest I would go, Gabe. Yeah. I'm being
honest. I'm not even sure I'd even go there.
I didn't say thrilled. You know, he's not doing cartwheels.
He had six.
But he's content with six at this point. So, Chu, I'll begin with you. They got a cornerback, a defensive lineman, an edge guy, an interior offensive lineman, another cornerback, and a kicker. We're going to break down those positions as the morning goes on, but your initial reaction to the six picks that Brian Gutekunst and the Green Bay Packers got in the 2026 NFL Draft?
He backfilled positions of need. The two cornerbacks will help. Hopefully one of them can contribute. Got Josh's guy a little later than they thought. But that always gives me pause. Like, why did he fall?
I don't know. Why did you fall?
Because I suck in running the 40 at that time.
Okay, I was going to say, that's a little bull crap this
but
morning.
They still need O-line help. But I thought overall, I mean, looking at the grades, it goes anywhere from an A to a D.
Does that surprise you?
No, I mean, you could... It's so hard to judge, I think, without a first-round pick. And it's so hard to judge in general because we don't know if these guys can play. We have no idea. It takes 2 years. Where it probably used to take three, it takes two now. But he did backfill some positions early. But I thought, overall, I'd give him a B. I thought it was pretty good. The kicker kind of gave me pause.
Yeah, I got questions.
He could have got, what, two more guys?
Yeah, I got questions about that, certainly. But again, I think the goal was the one thing he had said for certain is that they needed bodies at the cornerback position, right? Like that was one thing that he had said multiple times and was talking about in the run up to the draft. So check, you did that. You got two of those, including with your first pick in the second round. I think obviously, you know, if they were at least kicking the tires or kind of sniffing around adding a defensive tackle. The way we had talked about Dexter Lawrence because they wanted a wider body. All right, you check that as well. Get a 220-pound-plus guy out of Mizzou. So, again, the things I think they were looking for, especially on the defensive side, you were able to get. I'm with you, Chu. I guess they feel better about the backup offensive lineman they have on the roster than you and I do. But because you were only able to add one of those, and I guess that's why, again, Goody, like you said, Jen, he's somebody who just wants as many swings as possible and to trade up a couple of different times and limit yourself to now just six picks in this draft class. That was certainly, I think, the most surprising thing to me, is because I thought, if anything, he would trade back. And after they traded up the first time, I did not think he was going to trade up a second time.
So very quickly, Gabe, your grade for Brian Gutekunst's draft in 2026.
I don't know. Whatever you want to give him. Well, because Chewy said,
you just don't. Teacher over
God,
here.
I wish I had a teacher like that. Yeah, well, what exactly. Do you think you should have got?
What do you
an
think
a?
You should get? What yeah, do you want?
I mean, I don't think you can give him an A with just six draft picks. Maybe it turns into an A if a couple of these guys turn out to be studs, but it's just such a weird spot to be in because I'm not sure if Cisse ends up being a starter. Or if it takes him a couple of years to develop. It seems like he is a guy, from all the scouting reports I was looking at after he was taken, that he might take a little bit. Like he's a really good athlete, raw athlete, but the reason why he's going where he went is because he needs a little bit of seasoning. So I don't know if he's going to be thrown in there right away.
But I do like, though, that they added competition. Because if nothing else, maybe adding St. Juste and adding this kid Cisse, who, by the way, that is how you pronounce it. You're going to see it written. You're going to see it in the paper and on the internet saying C-I-S-S-E. And you're going to go, Sissy. And that is not how you say his name. It is Cisse. So let's just put that out there this morning as we continue this conversation. I like that it sort of was a wake-up call to the Keyshawn Nixons of the world to say, CB1?
It's not competition for Keyshawn's the one who's not in any competition. He's starting no matter what on one side of the field.
Sure, but what I'm saying is when you add all of these position, all of these guys at that position, it is a wake-up call to be like, oh, maybe I haven't been good enough to lock down. I know you're saying there are two cornerback spots. He's going to get one of them. The point is when you add that competition, all of a sudden guys have to be on their P's and Q's. They have to perform in order to hold those spots. Because you don't think these dudes are going to want to go out and try to get a starting spot? They are.
Yeah, but again, it's for the opposite. The competition's for the opposite corner. Because Key's there, and I know
he is.
Which is
crazy, because I really like Carrington Valentine, so.
Oh, he's probably the third of the three right now on the other side. Because, I mean, St. Juste would probably be ahead of him. I would give they're probably going to give Cisse more of an opportunity than Valentine. Because
Josh.
Mostly because Chewy, he is not as interested. Even as interested as Deion Sanders was at tackling.
Yeah. Joshy, what was the negative on your guy, the dentist?
What?
DDS.
DDS.
No, I understand. That's a nickname. But...
That's a nickname everybody's been running with.
Yeah, it's a great nickname.
I'm not seeing all three names all year long. He's known as the dentist.
Or you could just say DDS. Either one works. But the thing is, and we talked to Justice Mosqueda from Acme Packing Company about this extensively on Saturday when he did get drafted. People, when somebody's 6'6 and an edge rusher, he gets the moniker of playing too high and not having good bend. The problem is, yep, when you watch him play, he has more bend than you think. He's just 6'6. 6'2 bending an edge looks a lot different than 6'6 bending an edge. Do you remember Robert Quinn and how he played? He looked like he played upright. You know who got around a lot of tackles and was able to maneuver through stuff like that? It was Robert Quinn. He was able to do it. You have to look at their ankles and the way they're moving, but yeah, it looks more upright. This happens often in the draft. Danielle Hunter, who just got a massive extension once again last season, he was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
And you know what he did? He had production in college, much like DDS does, and he tested extremely well. The thing with DDS is he's in the Goldilocks zones of three cone. Basically, guys who are able to so explain this to me. He doesn't have good bend, and he can't turn corners, but he can run a three cone fast as the wind. How are those two? How could you marry those two?
Yeah.
So I think it's just a misevaluation.
The thing I notice is long arms, and long arms are tough. I hate it. I'll tell you, the toughest guy I had to go against was I don't even remember his name. From Dallas. He was a good player, not great, but I struggled with him because his arms were so long. His hands were on, kind of a turtle action. Once he got good hand position on me, you're screwed.
Well, Penn State has had a lot of success with guys at that position as well, too. I think it was Mark Tauscher who wanted Chop Robinson in a draft or two ago, and he played with this guy, DDS, and Abdul Carter, who I think was top three in the NFL draft last year, was a teammate of DDS. And what they were saying is the production for that line didn't really drop off. Losing Chop Robinson and losing Abdul Carter, DDS was holding it down, and I think that's a huge endorsement for him as well. As we continue talking about the Packers' 2026 NFL draft this morning, 6 picks from Brian Gutekunst. We are reacting to it. Chewy gives him a B. Gabe is undecided. Is there anything that could... if they had 8 picks, Gabe, do you think you'd be more inclined to give them a better grade?
I mean, sure. It's just so hard to grade a draft. I feel like no matter what, we're sitting here saying, oh, yeah, we kind of like these guys. Like Chewy said, we don't know until we get to see them on the field. So that's the tough part. But again, the things that I do like is there have been times, and granted it's been more often in the first round... but when you look at the Rashawn Garys and the Lucas Van Nesses of the world who did not have the college production, what I like that they got from defensive line, whether it's DDS, whether it's Chris McClellan out of Missouri, Like, these guys had production. McClellan from the interior had 6 sacks last year, 8 tackles for a loss in the SEC. So I like the fact that you're trying to do, to me, a little bit better job of marrying what you're seeing on the field in college along with some of the freak athletic traits that Josh was just talking about when it comes to deny Dennis Sutton.
It's a great Midwest Bank Mortgage Monday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you're buying a home, you should apply for a stress-free mortgage from Great Midwest Bank and experience your state of banquility. Visit greatmidwestbank.com. 800-990-3776 if you want to react to the NFL draft. I know you guys talked about it all weekend long as well, which was great. You can find that content on ESPN Wisconsin's app, rather. Let me ask you this. Is it fair to include Micah Parsons in the 2026 NFL draft? Because I got to tell you, a big reason why we're talking about the number 6, as in the number of picks that Brian Gutekunst had, is because they gave up that first round pick this year and next year. But wait, last year? Hold on.
This year and next year.
Thank you very much. And that obviously has to be taken into account. Like, if you put Micah Parsons in as a number 1 or first round draft pick this year, this probably is. And a
well,
easily.
But how are you doing that? Are you going half Micah this year, half Micah next year?
Because half two Micah first this year, half Micah next year is still pretty good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying because he was 2 first-round picks.
You
so.
Could make the argument that half Micah would be better than anything they could have gotten. And again, I don't know what direction they would have gone had they had a first-round pick, if they still would have carpet-bagged the cornerback position, or if they still would have gone defensive line. But I could make the argument that you got to equate and use Micah Parsons when you're grading this draft. Is that fair?
No. Not a part of the draft class.
No, it's got to stand alone.
Yeah, it's a great trade. I'm happy they made the trade, but Micah Parsons is not a part of this draft class.
I also don't agree with, as much as I admire and think he's the reason I'm as into the draft as I am, I don't like the idea that Mel Kiper downgraded the Packers draft because they didn't have a first-round pick. Like, we can't have it both ways. Either he gets included or he doesn't. And it doesn't count that way. The one thing I will say, it feels like this draft, more than any other, was the Packers having obvious needs and Goody filling all of them and not making you really scratch your head until the 6th round where they traded up for a kicker. But if you look at it and you start putting the pieces together, all the Packers preferred UDFA picks, who they typically take late 6th and into the 7th. Those are the guys they end up drafting if they go, we really want this guy. And that seems, those guys were all going off the board. I think 4 or 5 of them had gone off the board by the time they picked the kicker at that point. And that sort of changes the equation. Everyone talked about this being a weak draft and not having the amount of prospects everyone anticipated. It kind of seems like they looked at it and said, I don't think any of these guys left are worth us making a draft pick, so let's try and fix the kicker position.
Well, and Brian Gutekunst did address that when he spoke to the media over the weekend as well, saying that when they looked at the players who were still on the board in the 7th round, there wasn't anybody that really got him excited, which is why, Chew, they were willing to package a couple of those to move up to get a kicker. And look, we all lamented at very important times, maybe not all season long, but certainly in critical moments, the kicker situation. Again, I'm all for competition. You bring in a guy, and you could argue that, you know, drafting a kicker puts a big spotlight on his back. You bring in a guy like that, that's going to add pressure to those guys who are already on the roster and tell them again, like I said earlier about the cornerback position, hey, man, time to show us your best stuff. Because if you don't, now, I will say this. They did just give him the bonus, didn't they? They did just give McManus the bonus.
Most certainly did.
That was the only thing. That was the only thing that made me scratch my head, Chew, because it was like, were you committed to him a month ago? About the kicker situation, yeah. Because if you were committed to him a month ago.
There's a lot more to scratch your head about.
Also, 2 seasons ago, they gave a punter like $500,000 and then cut him 2 weeks later. So, like, if they think they have a better guy, they're just going to take it and let that money, when it's that low, walk away. They're just accepting of it. Did you see, Chewy, have you seen this? I want to show this to everyone. When Brian Gutekunst was asked how he scouts kickers.
Yeah.
How do you scout a kicker? Are you guys...
For those not watching on the YouTube stream, which you should be subscribing to the ESPN Wisconsin, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream, Brian Gutekunst just stuck his hands up in the air in a touchdown/it's good field goal movement.
Which, if you compare it to, as Justice Mosqueda did the work, once again mentioning him, this guy did that a lot more than Anders Carlson, who's been one of the worst prospects in expected points when he was kicking field goals. So that's an improvement. That's better.
Yeah, I don't know if you need to draft a kicker, though, is the problem.
They thought they did.
You dive in. You dive into the numbers, and the majority of really good kickers in this league aren't drafted. You didn't need to waste a draft pick because, again, I like the fact that they added places where we thought they needed to: corner, defensive tackle, edge. What I don't like is putting all of your running back eggs in the basket of a player who has played, what, 20 snaps in his NFL career
in
2 years?
Well, that's a great point by Gabe. That is the one position that I feel like you could scratch your head at. There is one guy. They have Chris Brooks there. Joshy with the victory lap on D. Yes, Joshy with the victory lap on Chris Brooks.
But he's being disingenuous because he knows Chris Brooks is an RB2. He knows the limitations of Chris Brooks. He loves Chris Brooks, but you're not turning around and handing the ball off 10 times to Chris Brooks.
Might just be. Might have no option.
Josh, how would you feel about that, Josh? Undrafted free agents. There is a running back on that list in Jaden Nixon out of UFC. If you're paying attention to that, maybe he's a guy that sticks as well. But yes, I do think that the running back backup certainly is a bit of a concern because, again, it forces Josh Jacobs to also stay healthy, and you know that he can't take every snap either. So what do they plan to do there? For me, I'm giving him a solid B. I think that the Micah Parsons thing should be considered in it because Micah Parsons is better than anybody you probably would have gotten. You know the production is there from Micah Parsons, so anybody you would have gotten in the first round is still a cross-your-fingers prospect you're hoping can contribute. They addressed the positions that they needed to address in cornerback, defensive line, and offensive line. And, oh, by the way, I'm okay with the kicker competition as well. If there wasn't anybody on the board that you were excited about, I'm okay with you saying, let's go out there and force some competition at a position that plagued us in critical moments in 2025. But let us know what you think. 800-990-3776. You can weigh in on the Carbless Talk and text line this morning. You can weigh in on the YouTube stream in the comments. What would you grade Brian Gutekunst's draft? Only 6 picks for a guy who typically likes double digits. Do you like it? Do you dislike it? Let us know. We'll keep having this conversation as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of a right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj?
You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as we keep recapping the NFL draft. The Green Bay Packers get 6 new guys, not to mention the undrafted free agents who will sort of round out the roster potentially. And I want to call all gamers, jackpot chasers, and Monopoly lovers, get ready to relive your childhood because Monopoly just hit Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, this time paying out real cash. Watch Mr. Monopoly race around the board, collecting gold bags and properties just like the game you grew up playing. Every spin moves him closer to bigger bonuses, bigger multipliers, and big-time Monopoly-style wins. It's your favorite TV game show hitting the casino floor, bigger, brighter, and more thrilling than ever. Be one of the first to step up and spin the wheel, only at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Reaction rolling in fast and furious this morning to the NFL draft. Chef Ed says, I give Goody a C+. He drafted positions of need, but I don't like trading up for a kicker, which seems to be the one thing that people are marinating on, struggling with. Soren says, how the hell is this draft anything lower than an A? This might be Goody's best draft of all time when it's all said and done. Get out of town talking about some B draft.
And you go back and look at, you know, some of the past draft. Like, this draft is not going to have as many starters as 2023 or 2024.
Well, just there were 6 people.
Correct.
And you play
and
the odds.
Yeah, you take a look at a draft that has Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, and Evan Williams. Gonna be tough to top that one, if we're being completely honest.
DDS turns into a double-digit sack guy every year and a first-round value, you're going to be excited.
Murray weighing in saying, realistically, Trey Smack will probably be the only one of the draft picks that sees a significant amount of playing time this year, so that will be a good pick by the Packers. That's what Murray in the 414 is predicting. Chu, do you agree with that, that of the picks that they took this year, the kicker will be the one that sees the most significant amount of playing time?
Because I don't think it's going to be a fair competition at kicker just because they gave McManus that bonus. you know, even well, though they are willing to walk away from it. It's just...
What are you willing to walk away from more, a $1 million bonus or a draft pick? Or actually a couple of draft picks because you traded up to go get them.
Brian Gutekunst was asked that, though, over the weekend. Like, will it be a fair kicking competition? Do we have that sound, Josh, or you want me to just summarize it?
No.
Summarize.
I didn't think we'd have this much interest in a kicker. I'm going to be totally honest with everyone. It's the draft ended in the fifth round, everybody. Get over it.
I think that's a really good point, man. The drop-off of the talent after the fifth round was pretty severe.
I thought they love Haversack, too.
But that's the problem. Ultimately the problem I had with it is that you already had, if you wanted to have a kicking competition, you were already going to have it. Now you're wasting resources to go get it. There were three other running backs that went in the seventh round. That, yeah, maybe you wanted as UDFAs, but you could have used one of your seventh-round picks on them. And that's, I just look at that backup running back position as more valuable than a third kicker to add to the roster. And again, you already gave the $1 million bonus, which I guess the Packers don't care about because they'll just, you know, okay, this is what we're spending for the kicker. Doesn't matter if we're not paying this guy. And I just don't think that you need to draft a kicker. I did a little bit of research on kickers this morning. So I did kickers who had the top 10 field goal percentage, kickers who had the top 10 makes, and the highest paid kickers. There is some crossover. So total 20 kickers on this list. 13 of them were undrafted free agents. Of the highest paid kickers, so the ones that obviously have proven something and have done it year in and year out, that guys that teams have decided wanted to pay, 7 out of those 10 are undrafted free agents. I just don't think you ever need to draft a kicker because you can find them literally anywhere, as we found out with Lucas Haversick last year.
But I also wonder if this is another Goody pivot. Maybe Goody came from the same school of thought as you, Gabe, where he thought we're not going to waste resources on a kicker. But then last year, the kicker was the thing, the Achilles heel, in the most critical games that kept them from moving on. And I wonder if he was like, I need to devote some resources to that position so that we don't find ourselves in that same spot again.
They've already drafted a kicker before under Goody, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, Anders Carlson, right?
Rich Bisaccia is gone. We can get away from that.
It doesn't mean Goody made the pick. You can blame whoever you want, Josh, but Goody made the pick. That's on his resume.
As somebody who listened to the audio, the full thing from Brian Gutekunst, even though I didn't want to care about kickers, he says explicitly in it, we lean heavily on our special teams coordinator.
Sure. So, but he's still making the decision, man.
And he said Cam really liked this kid.
Yes. So, we could try and point elsewhere. It's very clear Rich Bisaccia had a lot to say in drafting the brother of the guy that he previously coached.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to the phone lines. Kyle in Milwaukee wants to weigh in on the draft. Kyle, what grade are you giving Brian Gutekunst for his picks in 2026? Morning, Kyle.
His name might not be Kyle.
Good morning.
Yeah.
What you got?
All right, we're giving up on that.
Wow, that was rough. Wow.
Here's what I can summarize. He told me the full thing. He gave it a B, and then he mentioned they do have, which I don't agree with this point, they do have more running backs because they signed or they brought in Josh Jacobs' brother to the
the mini camp tryout.
Yeah, that's just doing one of your players a favor, I think. I mean, he could end up being something, but it seems like a favor.
Well, yeah, I mean, Cass Chu, you would know more than any of us, but those tryouts, it's very rare that somebody actually gets signed from one of them. Because, again, if we go back to what Josh was saying about the draft, and a lot of guys who were thought to be potentially undrafted actually got drafted, so now the undrafted list is shorter, which means the tryout list play. Like, there's a fall-down effect here of the tryout players not even being very good.
I wish him the best.
Yeah. If he's great, cool.
Yes.
Awesome.
A free agent quarterback?
No.
Quarterback.
I didn't see one on the list. I could probably pull it up.
They must like Ritter then.
It seems like that's the plan.
Yeah. Oh, they did. I'm sorry. Kyron Drones, Virginia Tech.
Yep.
Okay. Wasn't he the mystery guy that they brought in? That
correct.
That eventually Bill Huber did get to report on, because initially Huber said there was a mystery quarterback as part of the top 30 visits.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days later, it came out that it was
They do this typically with guys who can provide the looks on the scout team for a running quarterback. That's typically what they're looking for. They stash them on the practice squad, and that's kind of it.
Is that the book on Kyron Drones? I just don't know anything.
Yeah, athletic quarterback.
Yeah.
800-990-3776. Get us your reaction. And like I said, on the YouTube stream, it is popping off. Captain Matty I says B to B+, but closer to B, I think. I don't know what this is. DAS Commander Krieger. Yeah, let's congratulate Goody on his best thing ever, ? His eval is suspect, and he's given way too much credit for anything that draws success. Meanwhile, Kurt says, hello, people. Lost five starters and took the Bears to the end. No Tom, no Kraft, no Parsons, no Jenkins. Kicker missed three field goals. This team, yes, lacks depth, but has enough. In a league, you need to catch some breaks. So I think that is an evaluation of the roster as a whole that says this team was good enough to be insert accomplishment here. I tend to say NFC championship game had they been healthy. And Brian Gutekunst was just sprinkling. He was just addressing some positions that he would like to upgrade, which he did with cornerback, which he did with defensive line, giving maybe some backup depth to the offensive line. But across the board, this to me feels like Brian Gutekunst felt really good about the roster he had assembled last year, and he was just adding some seasoning, Gabe.
Yeah, I still have questions about depth of this roster, even after the draft. Yeah, you added bodies like you wanted to at corner, but I would say that the only position that you still feel good about, if there are injuries, is safety. But that's, I mean, that it was going to be really hard to answer those questions, even with the draft picks, which is why I thought that they would try to stick with more of them, just to try to fill out some of that and have some bodies on the back half of that roster. I don't know if they, again, you always have to take what Goody says with a grain of salt, right? But, you know, talking about the way he likes the offensive line depth. I don't know if that's the way he truly feels. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, Chu. I don't know if that's the way he truly feels. I think they do feel good about their starting five. And after that, they need guys that they've drafted previously or have been on the roster previously to step up. Because I don't know how much Jagger Burton is going to be ready to go and ready to play and be that swing guy on the inside. I know they like Kennard as their swing tackle, and they think they've got a couple of different people who can play left tackle should there be an injury there. But yeah, there's still some depth. Again, I come back to running back two. Some questions at that position. I think there's still some depth issues on the roster. Again, the starters are fine, but we all know there's going to be injuries at some point in time.
Me and Josh, you talked about, I think, this on Friday, and people can't discount, all right, maybe you didn't want any of those free agents back that left this team, but they were contributors. They contributed, right? So we think we're fine at left tackle. That's still a question mark. We think Golden will be fine. Sorry. That's still a question mark. You know, Marshawn Lloyd looks like he's going to be the backup running back. Still a question mark. So, you know, we're fine, I guess, with those players leaving. But do not they still need guys to pick up those stats. And say what you want about, like, Golden. Yeah. We think he can do it. Yeah, so do I. But thinking isn't getting it done. That's all I'm saying.
For what it's worth, specifically on the offensive line, and I know that this is not the end-all, be-all, but I see three names on this list of undrafted free agent signings for the Green Bay Packers. Some interior. I think they sort of went interior mostly. So again, not saying that those guys will make the roster, not saying those guys are going to be the savior if there are injuries, but I'm saying they did obviously pull some of those guys in there as well. And maybe one of them pops and ends up being your, you know, backup to whoever.
I forget what this streak is, but it kind of feels like this could be the year that the streak ends of a UDFA making the Packers opening 53. Kind of feels like it could be.
Just because the class is small.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But again, if the draft class isn't that deep,
right,
the undrafted free agent class can only be so deep as well.
I do think there's a chance the most likely spot would be the offensive line. Like, what if is Jacob Monk on the team? He certainly didn't play like a guy who should be even the third string center when we saw him. What do they think of Travis Glover? I know Goody mentioned recently he thinks he can come in and be a contributor. And then Donovan Jennings, like, what are they doing there? I don't know. I think that's really the probably 8th, 9th, or 10th offensive linemen, however you'll have them lined up, are probably the spots that are still up for grabs for some of those young guys. I do think the one thing I will say, I think the wide receiver room and the edge room has improved because of the subtractions.
Fair enough.
I think those positions are going to be better off because they don't have the albatrosses around their neck of Romeo Dobbs taking up so many snaps and Rashawn Gary taking up so many snaps.
I think you can see. Yeah, well, I mean, how many snaps did Rashawn really take, Josh? We all know.
too
he
many.
He wasn't a high snap
the
count,
but
he wasn't a
too many.
But he wasn't a high snap count guy.
It could have been seven.
Still
it was
too many.
Too many snaps for
Rashawn snap
Gary
count
to be
guy.
Taking.
Plenty of other snaps when you're not a high snap count.
I want
count
to get
guy.
To this reaction. James in the 828 says, I made fun of my wife for picking a kicker in the sixth round of our fantasy football draft. Then she won the league. I won't be making fun of her anymore. Lots of reaction rolling in on the draft. Richard in the 920 says, the fact that we're crabbing about kickers is great. It means Goody nailed this draft. I give him an A-. Ashton in Sheboygan says, the draft feels fine, addressed some weaknesses, but if you count Micah Parsons, it is an A+. 800-990-3776. Get us your reaction to the 2026 NFL draft for your Green Bay Packers. They also made a move early in the weekend. In the wide receiver group. We're going to talk about Jaden Reed when we come back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, Milwaukee, let's celebrate Ewald Automotive Group's 62-year anniversary sale. It's here. It's going on right now. This month, we're celebrating with anniversary savings on over 1,400 cars, trucks, and SUVs. Get payments as low as $250 a month, financing as low as 0%, plus 2 years of included maintenance on us. It's the Ewald Automotive Group 62-year anniversary sales event happening this month at every Ewald location. Great service. Great sales team. They're going to take care of you. You can head over to ewaldauto.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
One of the conversations we have pretty often here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is the number of wide receivers that Matt LaFleur and company are trying to get targets to. And we always felt like it was sort of a fool's errand. I had a change of tune, a change of heart. I was saying, no, it's so great to have all these guys out there that you can throw the ball to on any given play, on any given down and distance. That's a luxury. It never worked out that way. And so I switched back to, we need a number one. We need a guy, a go-to, in case of emergency, break glass. This is the guy who can move the chains. I like that philosophy better after watching the other philosophy just absolutely crash and burn. So this weekend, Packers make a move. They give Jaden Reed a pretty substantial extension. It's a 3-year, $50.25 million extension that includes $20 million guaranteed and keeps him in green and gold through 2029. Now, maybe you sit there and go, well, that also sort of makes sense why they moved on from Dontavian Wicks, were willing to trade him, you know, because they were going to quote unquote feature Jaden Reed more. So, Chewy, I'll begin with you on this. When you saw this news and you saw this number, what did you think it meant for Jaden Reed's future in Green Bay from a production standpoint?
I still think he's going to be a 3, even though that's kind of 2-ish money, Gabe.
Not anymore.
That's not number 2 money? Like, what's the average there? 17?
Just a hair under 17, yes.
16 yeah. Guaranteed, 16 less guaranteed than both Wandale Robinson, who would be a comp, and as well Romeo Doubs.
I mean, he's a hair under the Doubs money, yep. And Doubs would probably be number 2 money.
You think Doubs money affected Jaden's money? You think Jaden's people looked over and went, excuse me, look at what
obviously
they did.
Not.
Yeah, they took
because
less.
They didn't, yeah, they took less
almost
than
half.
Yeah, in terms of guaranteed money. Think, yeah.
But they know that Jaden's going to be the 3. I mean, it's going to be Golden, Watson, and Jaden. My initial reaction is, that's 2 guys now. Christian Watson's going to want to get paid.
Yeah, this is.
And my guess is they're probably negotiating with him.
I don't think the Jaden thing affects the Christian Watson thing whatsoever.
Gabe, I'm telling you, when there were players like that beneath me that are getting paid more than I do, you start the what the you know what.
Yeah, but
I'm telling you, it just is.
You're that not... contract's not kicking in this year for Jaden. It starts next year. So, and Christian Watson knows that the bidding for his services is the number it starts at dwarfs this contract that Jaden just signed.
I would say, because I think they're probably soft negotiating with Watson, and they're probably around 23. 22-23.
That's
trying
not
to get him on the cheap.
That ain't happening. My guess
that'd
is that
a favor.
Yeah, Christian would have to do the Packers a favor.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I just don't think he's going to.
I mean, Christian knows the number is whatever Pierce got, 28?
28 a year.
Because there's your comp. It's just because I signed an extension in the middle of the season, and I know, you know, they slow roll it. And the more games you play and the better you play, the more leverage you get. And then the other side starts to panic a little bit. So I don't think they want him getting to free agency.
No, but they have to. I mean, in order to do that, you got to give something up. It's not just all, hey, this is going to benefit us. Like, what are the Packers offering Christian Watson that would make him want to sign something that would be less than market value?
Well, he's had one ACL, like I said. You know, there is the threat of injury. And that's just something you have to measure. Because when I did my extension, I had bad Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
And then thank God for magnets. And the season was moving along. And that went away. Well, they lost their leverage because their leverage is like, hey, that Achilles is going to go at any time. Let's not do it.
Hold on a minute, guys. Okay. I do want to hear from Matt LaFleur on this, okay? Because Matt LaFleur did weigh in on the Jaden Reed situation when he had his availability this weekend. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur on the impact of this extension.
Oh, it's big time. I think you talk about a guy that's a culture setter and the epitome of what we want representing our football team in regards to just – how he prepares and how he goes out there and plays, and he never takes a play off, and you're always going to get his best. And I think one thing that's unique about him is just his ability to, you know, bring others with him. I think he's a real leader for us.
Matt LaFleur obviously praising Jaden Reed. We know that they like him as a member of the wide receiver group. That goes without saying, Gabe, but how do you see him being used with this contract?
You know, when I initially heard it, you know, you're going, oh, wow, I can't believe they paid Jaden Reed. Because I had questions if they're going to pay Jaden because, again, they don't play
him. Like they were going to let him walk in free agency type of thing?
Potentially, because they don't play him a ton. Like, I shouldn't say they don't play him a ton because he plays a decent amount, but he doesn't play the typical amount of snaps that you would think for a wide receiver, certainly not a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two. Those aren't the types of snaps that he's typically getting because he's been limited through the first 2+ years because last year was kind of a wash because of the injury he suffered in week two. He's been exclusively a slot guy. So anytime they don't have somebody, you know, a formation or a play called where someone's in the slot, he typically hasn't been in there. He's just not playing on the outside. And then the more you dig into this contract, yeah, this is about, if you've got a pretty good number three guy, this is probably the contract that you're giving someone. Because the numbers and the money just keep going up and up and up and up and up and up, especially at the wide receiver position. So, yeah, they're paying him. I thought, okay, that means they got to play him more. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be true. Because, again, the type of money that he got isn't top of the market even for a number two.
When you talk about order of operations, too, it feels like this had to get done. If this was the path they were going to go before the Watson thing, right? Like, if you're the Green Bay Packers and you know that you want to keep Jaden Reed and you want to keep Christian Watson, the last thing you want to do is have Jaden Reed, who was the leading receiver for this team the last two seasons, sit there and go, oh, that's what you're giving Christian Watson, and have Drew Rosenhaus and company try to use that as a benchmark for what their client deserved.
Yeah, they play different positions.
100%. I understand all of that. I'm simply saying that, to me, it makes sense to get this done first so that it is done, signed, sealed, delivered on the dotted line so that it doesn't even come into consideration once you start talking to Watson.
Yeah, but, I mean, Rosenhaus knows what Watson's going to get. I think everybody kind of knows the ballpark market for what Christian Watson looks like, and I don't think that affected this deal whatsoever.
I can't help but wonder if his people would have looked at it and said, but our guy's been more productive and healthier than that guy for his time, for his duration with the Packers. Like, whether or not the Packers bite on that or are forced to move the number is one thing, but I don't know why you wouldn't use that in a negotiation.
Well, who's a better wide receiver, Chew? Who's physically, who's a better wide receiver? Christian Watson or Jaden Reed? I know the numbers say it would Christian be Jaden Reed, but yeah. I think every NFL team would rather have Christian Watson.
I think the important part is if you're going to keep all three of the guys that are due extensions, Reed, Watson, and Kraft, you start with Reed because that helps you guarantee you can get it all done then. Because if you start negotiating, his number goes up. Like, you already know what you're looking at for both of those guys following with Kraft and Watson. This one, you get it done, then you're like, hey, guess what? Now we can do all three of these extensions if we want to.
But it was smart with Reed because he knows that Watson and Golden are going to be the starters. And his numbers probably aren't going to change. So he's like, I'm not the receiver in this type of offense that can go out unless someone gets a couple guys get hurt, go out and catch 90 balls. He knows he's going to be around that 60 to 70, which turns out to be a good signing of where the money's at.
And if he ends
up, this is their favorite. This is if you have a tight end, this is their favorite personnel grouping. Three receivers, one tight end, and one back. This is their money grouping. Mm-hmm. So it was a good signing. It was fair. I think both sides were fair. It's just because I know, because when I signed my deal, Keith was pissed. And I said, hey, get whatever you can. I don't care if you get more than me or whatever. I got mine. Go get it. And they gave him the exact same amount. I'm just saying sometimes players are like, hey, what the hell? Where's mine?
Yeah, but I mean, they've already worked out. Like, Christian already has. It's not like he's nothing, right? Like, they gave him the extension to scratch his back, you know, to kind of make sure, hey, we got you. You're taken care of. You're coming back from the ACL. You don't have to rush back. You've got guaranteed money coming on the other side of this thing.
We heard from Matt LaFleur just a few moments ago, too, and he was talking about, you know, Jaden Reed being a good guy. And I think something that is probably underrated is that none of these guys are disgruntled anymore, right? The Packers did a good job this offseason of sort of sweeping away the disgruntledness, right? So I have a feeling that these guys actually are rooting for each other. That Jaden Reed is rooting for Christian Watson to break the bank. That they do want to see Tucker Kraft get his due. And I think that sort of like connectivity also pays big dividends in a wide receiver room like this. Before we go, I want to hear from Matt LaFleur on one more thing. Matt LaFleur on spreading targets around. Take a listen to this.
I think at the end of the day, if, you know, we're going to continue to push, especially the bottom of the roster, to try to help make us better. But I think I don't think we've ever lacked talent at that position. And I think a year ago, I think we all saw it, man. It was hard to get everybody the amount of touches that we'd like to get them. So I think this is an opportunity to kind of reset everything. And, you know, we've got more opportunities, I would say, for everybody in that room.
But let me just say this, though. The security blanket's kind of gone because there were a handful of games where two receivers were out, right? Mm-hmm. Reed was out for a good part of the season, and some of those other guys missed a game. There's no more, hey, throw Wicks in, we'll be fine, or you know. So there is a little bit of a drop-off off of those three. We don't know what Savion Williams in, and then you have Bo Melton. We don't know what the hell position he's playing.
It's got to be wide receiver after not taking one.
The security blanket is a little bit gone.
Sure, but
fine.
I also...
Okay with that.
Yeah, but if everybody has defined roles, which again, my working theory has been, all right, some guys were upset. Pretty easy to circle that wide receiver room of, oh, guys didn't know what their roles were. Yeah, no kidding, because you were shuffling guys in and out of than Romeo Doubs on who knows what basis. I think by defining the roles and having a set three that you really like... It's A, going to be easy to define those roles, and B, easier to target the guys that deserve the targets on the team.
And Matt LaFleur just said as much.
Yeah.
Right? Matt LaFleur just on tape, on film, at the podium, admitted that the way they were doing it didn't work, wasn't working, and they've had to reset. So I feel like this Jaden Reed extension is part of that reset. Jaden Reed, we're going to pay you like a number three because we expect you to be our number three. We're not in and out of the lineup. Now, I know we haven't talked about it and we're running out of time here on Jaden Reed, but there were concerns about his ability against man coverage. Do we feel like in the offseason he's put the time in? That's something he is focused on that is going to be an improvement. Will we see it right away? Chew, an improvement from Jaden Reed when he faces man.
He's going into year three or four?
Four.
Yeah, we know what he is. We know what he is.
I mean, teams are playing so much.
Everyone should know their weaknesses. But, yeah, I think we're close to knowing what he is, and we still don't know if he can play out in space by himself. Like, if Golden went down for a game or two, can he become the Z and be the focus of the offense that week? That I don't know. Because his big plays early on in these last couple of years have been kind of gadgety.
Yeah, a little catch and run. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, little scheming to get open, and it'll take it 80 yards or whatever. So, I don't know. But I think it was a good signing.
take a break here on Jen Gave It Chewy. I'm glad you dropped that in there at the end.
Yeah.
Now we know where you stand. So much more to get to on Jen Gave It Chewy. Still an entire hour of breaking down the NFL draft. Green Bay gets 6 picks. Give us your grade. We put it on the YouTube stream, A, B, C, or D, for Brian Gutekunst and company.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for the
pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their birthday.
So good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water. Other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For 70 years, Geis has been the trusted garage door authority in Wisconsin. Don't let a busted garage door get you down. Call my friends at Geis today. Brands like CHI and LiftMaster, they have doors for every budget. They'll even build you custom designs that meet your exact needs. For swift and reliable garage repair solutions, go to geisdoors.com. It's GEISdoors.com. Don't think twice. Call Geis. All right, Chew, tell us about TSA. Something happened this weekend?
Yeah, well, something happens every weekend when I travel with my wife.
I love it when he sighs right out of the gate. Just like,
son of a biscuit.
Because something always happens. So we go to Key West for the girl's birthday. We go to breakfast on Saturday, and I don't know if you guys have been to Key West, but they kind of let the roosters just do whatever they want, right? They don't bother you. They just walk in the restaurant. Well,
these are actual roosters we're talking about here. I thought it was a nickname for somebody.
No, they just wander.
Chewy has one too many mimosas at brunch. He starts walking around like a rooster. Yeah. He's kind of pecking the head.
So they're fine. They don't bother me, but obviously they bother her. And she lets the waiter know it. So the waiter brings over a squirt gun. Okay. And said, if the roosters come close to you and you don't like it, just squirt them with the squirt gun and they'll shuffle away. I'm like, great. But then she turns into Miss Annoying. And I become the target.
I was about to say, so now she's a child because she has a squirt gun. I understand it.
Well, who among us?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very, very understandable why she would turn into, because again, when's the last time you had a squirt gun?
But the easiest way to, get her to knock it off is to pretend it doesn't bother you.
Okay.
Which after the fifth time is starting to become very annoying.
I was about to say, that's very hard for you.
How long can you pretend, sir?
I think this is very difficult
for
two.
That's not even the issue. So we get our bags, we bring them down to the restaurant, have a little bite to eat, and she's got the squirt gun still. And I say, throw that thing away. Because if it goes through TSA, it's going to be a problem. Yeah. Not listening. I said, throw the damn thing away. So when we are down there, we have a jeweler who Angry knows real well. And we're getting our daughter for her 21st birthday a very nice bracelet. A bougie, where they make knockoffs. But this wasn't the knockoff. This is just too good to be true. So we go to the airport. She's got the big bag with the bracelet in there and a few other things, and I've got the roll-away carry-ons. Goes through TSA. Flagged. They're sitting there talking about it for about a good 5 minutes, maybe 7. Yeah. I know what's going on.
Yeah, they found the squirt gun.
The dumbass didn't take the gun out, and it's in there. So TSA comes over and goes, whose bag is this? Oh, it's mine. Pulls her over. Ma'am, we know it's fake, but we just need you to tell us it's fake. It's not fake. Why would you think it's fake?
Oh, no.
It's real. She's talking about the bracelet.
They're talking
she
about
the
squirt gun.
She thought the bracelet was a knockoff and TSA was ripping on her. Bring over another TSA guy. Ma'am, now you're telling us that this is real? Well, hell yeah, it's real. I'm like, officers, will you tell her what you are talking about? And then she'll tell you what she's talking about. Ma'am, the squirt gun in there. Oh, I thought you were talking about the bracelet. Now,
why would
and the
TSA,
TSA
give
agent
a rip
said,
about
now we
the
can.
Bracelet being real or not, you know?
Now, they said, man, we could. And they're laughing because they see just steam coming out of my ears.
Yeah.
And they're like, we could technically fine you $500. So you don't want to do this again. Okay. La-di-da. Yeah.
But I can see her standing there defiantly like, it's real. Why would you think it's fake? And them going, ma'am, we're trying to give you a get out of jail free card here.
Yeah.
Why are you packing a squirt gun in the, I mean, again, you got the squirt gun from the restaurant. Why is that going in the luggage in the first place?
Yeah, why didn't you return it to the restaurant?
You know why? Because it's free. And she rips on Blammer for doing this stuff.
But it's a squirt gun. What is she going to use a squirt gun
She's
for?
She's going to shoot Chewy. What are we kidding? She had so much fun shooting Chew
Go
with
to the
squirt
dollar
gun.
Store.
Yeah. She was like, I'm taking this home with me.
Or again, like, you know, take the $500 TSA just saved you and go get a really nice super soaker.
She just does not listen. She doesn't listen. And I've told her a million times. I said, if I snore, squirt me with the squirt gun. No, I don't want to do that. I want you to be awake when I squirt you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, so that's how the trip ended.
So after this, and I guess I know the answer to this question, was she at least somewhat contrite?
No. Yeah. It's like flying with a three-year-old.
I'm biting my tongue. So I got steam coming out of my ears hearing this story. I mean, goodness.
Can you imagine with Mussolini? Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, Chew.
I still don't understand, even though it's free, I still don't understand it making it into the luggage.
You do. You understand. She wanted to use it on Chew. Little pew, pew,
no,
pew.
It's going to go somewhere, and Chewie's going to find that thing 3 years from now in the garage.
It's kind of on me because I should have smashed the thing right in front of her.
Yeah.
But
a good
I gave
move.
Her the benefit.
You know, hey,
step on
now,
it.
Now, yeah, I think you're starting to pick it up. You're starting to figure out.
Yeah,
that is on you. You got to know it your is. Personnel, Chew.
Yep, I agree.
What grade would you give the Packers 2026 NFL draft class? Weigh in on that on our YouTube stream. We'll be right back after this.